This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you enjoyed your Memorial Day weekend. I know we did. Opening half hour of the show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up, routine to difficult, at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Always great to talk with Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. Adam, first of all, I hope you're doing really well.
Yeah, great to be on with you, Steve. Hope it's the same for you.
Yeah, interesting times. But we'll at least start out with something on a field. You did a terrific piece on Jordan Faison at Notre Dame, and Notre Dame just won the lacrosse national championship. What did you learn about a guy that has done so well at two sports at this level?
Well, I think it's just a credit to him. He's obviously a tremendous natural athlete, but to be able to juggle both of those sports, especially at a program like Notre Dame that wants to win championships and now has won two national championships in a row in lacrosse, obviously has the great aspirations in football, as a freshman. I mean, he's a true freshman on campus, and again, had a football season that even he didn't really envision, having such a big role there at the end at wide receiver, and then having to pivot right away to lacrosse, where that was where he was a top 50 recruit and a guy that was expected to contribute. But you're still starting for a team that won a national title and is defending that title with a lot of veteran players, scoring goals in the national championship game. So he was a bit of an underdog in the sense that you grew up in Florida, which is not the hottest lacrosse area. I think it could be in the future, but had to go to Long Island to play club lacrosse in the summers, and then was an underdog in football, in the sense that he came to Notre Dame as a walk-on, and they really did not want to play him last year because it was going to count against the scholarship limit, and they just had no choice, partly because of injury, but in large part because of what he was able to do in impressing them in practice. So excited to see where his career goes, and his younger brother, Dylan, is going to try to do the same thing, play both football and lacrosse. He's already committed for football, and will be playing lacrosse as well for Notre Dame.
All right, this is going to be the new era. Claudia Wilkins still has to put her stamp of approval on the settlement. What does this do for athletic departments financially? Because let's face it, in the 3 to 5 year budget projections that they may have even done 6 months ago, $20 to $22 million per year was not in there.
Right, and it's going to be different for each department, and certainly different league to league in terms of how you address this, and what it means for football and basketball, but also what it means for some of the other sports. There's still a Title IX component that seems to be a little bit fuzzy. Everyone's kind of wondering what happens to collectives now and the NIL. I don't think that's going to change dramatically because of this settlement, because this is a revenue sharing component. It's not a technically NIL portion of this, although it just means more money is going to go to the athletes. But the distribution of those funds are also going to be interesting. Does it go equally throughout all athletes, throughout all football and basketball teams? there's certainly a lot of wiggle room, it seems like, in there, and a lot of questions still to be answered. But again, if you're a Big Ten athletic director, for example, and you weren't anticipating this, you weren't doing your job. This has been coming now for at least a year, and I just think that you know, all these departments have to be ready for the financial realities going forward, and have to prioritize what really matters to them, or shift priorities in some cases. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, not just locally there in Penn State, but throughout the league and also from conference to conference.
Well, also plays out differently at Oregon and Washington. They don't get as much of the cut of the television contract as everybody else does along the way. So what about the possibility of private equity getting involved?
Right. Well, it certainly seems like that is something that schools are looking at and you know, likely will have some partnerships there. I think it's a bit of a slippery slope if you just pay attention to some of the areas that private equity has gotten involved with and some of the damage that's been done. So I think it's something that makes people uncomfortable. But, you know, again, this is an uncomfortable time from a financial reality standpoint, especially, you know, let's face it, look at what's happened to college athletics in the last 30 years. You know, facilities have boomed, staffs have boomed, everybody's increasing. How do you continue to do that or even sustain at a certain level financially with now this new line item that's going to be massive going to the athletes coming out of your budget? So it doesn't surprise me that schools are looking at this as a possibility. I just think you also have to pay attention to what's happened with some of the other ventures that private equity has gotten involved with.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I know, for example, I think it's Redbird. They're involved with AC Milan, the Red Sox, the Penguins, and they claim they want to get involved with 5 to 10 prominent programs along the way. You and I both know that some of those are going to be Big Ten programs. And by the way, Redbird's associated with LeBron James. He has a piece of it as well. What do private equity firms expect? I mean, that's what I want to know, because if you and I are running a business, don't we want rate on return?
No doubt. And this is, again, maybe a larger scale way of looking at this versus NIL, when, you know, you would hear things from coaches like, you know, I have to play this guy or else. Because someone has invested their money in their NIL deal. You know, now it's going to be from a programmatic standpoint. You know, if things aren't being done a certain way, what type of consequences will there be? You know, what impact will there be on the coaching staff or the head coach in some cases, or just how they approach you know, the goal, a very competitive goal of trying to win conference championships and being in the playoff and national championships and so forth. So, it's not like they're just going to sit in the back and give up their money and not have any sort of influence. And so, again, I think it's why everybody has to assess what's best for them. You know, it's so interesting. You mentioned the Big Ten, Steve, and I was talking with Troy Dannon in his office, the new athletic director at Nebraska, back in April, and he was very open about, you know, the fact that he believes that revenue and just how it's going to be distributed is going to change. You know, this league, as you know, for many, many years has prided itself on sharing revenue equally. Mm-hmm. You know, Troy's quote to me was, you know, it's going to be more of an eat what you kill mentality. We saw that with the college football playoff revenue distribution, and he thinks it's going to be that way even within conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC. So we're just in a very different place now, and, you know, people wonder, is this just all going to lead to a smaller group of teams breaking off into their own deal? And it might, because there's only some teams, not all teams, that can really compete financially at the level that we're seeming to head to now.
Which then will bring up my next question on collective bargaining. For one thing, if you want a collective bargain, who do you collective bargain with? The players would have to decide who's representing them, correct?
Well, right, and I mean, that's been still the line in the sand, if there is one, that, you know, they are not employees at this point. And I know Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, addressed that last night at their spring meetings, that he does not sense an appetite for athletes to become employees, and certainly that's what the NCAA's position has been and continues to be, even though obviously its position on many things has changed dramatically here in the last few years. So, you know, the collective bargaining element is a good question, but until there's sort of this widespread embracing of employment, I don't know if we're quite there yet.
Which then let's bring up Tony Petitti here. He has a different background than other Big Ten commissioners along the way. What do you see in his background that you think would allow him to help schools navigate this?
Well, he's certainly been part of professional sports for a long time. You know, as had Kevin Warren, his predecessor, spent most of his career in the NFL. Tony, you know, came directly from MLB, and you know, I think there are some elements of that experience that can certainly help inform him as he, you know, he met with the Big Ten presidents and athletic directors and coaches last week. They had a massive meeting out in Southern California. Interested to talk to some of the folks coming out of that in terms of what they glean, because you know, I think so far, other than the Michigan situation, I think Tony's received pretty good reviews as far as how he communicates and how he addresses some of these bigger problems, or challenges, I should say. But I think, yeah, coming from the television world, also coming from the MLB world, those experiences should at least give him a pretty good knowledge of how he needs to talk to these folks, and also how he needs to maybe change their positions on certain areas to maybe conform with the realities that the league and all these schools are facing in the future.
How anxious are you to get back to writing about athletes and about games?
Yeah, I mean, I still enjoy that part of it. I kind of dabble in this area, but the crux of my job is still very much about players and teams and projecting and talking to coaches. So, you know, I think everyone thinks like everything's changed for every reporter. It hasn't really changed as much for me, which I'm okay with. You and I have talked for many years about projecting out for the season, and I'm still looking forward to doing that. And it's obviously just, you know, a lot of the things away from the field have been notable here lately.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People ask me about it, same thing. And I said, look, I sit there with Jack Ham or Dick Girardi in basketball, and whomever's out there, that's who I talk about. how they got there. I'm not going to give, you know, that's not my job. My job is to tell you what the time and the score is.
Right. And I think it's important to remind people of that. Now, you know, it's important to obviously track the movement. I'm doing my future power ranking series right now, where I look out 3 years in advance, which is kind of a futile exercise because things change so much. But you do the best with the information that you have. And, you know, who's on the roster right now? Who have teams added through the portal? How are they doing in recruiting? You know, the next few weeks are significant. You know, I know a number of your listeners follow recruiting closely. You're going to see some movement in recruiting in terms of commitments for the upcoming year. It's harder than ever to get a sense of what rosters are going to look like. But, you know, we're also nearing the point now, as June is right around the corner, that most of these rosters have taken shape for the 2024 season, at least. And then what happens after that, as we know, will be very, very fluid.
Yes, I do a lot of off-season pre-work. Yep. They're finally stabilizing enough I can finish the job on the pre-work part of it. When people talk to you, what do they like about college sports right now? And when they talk to you, what part concerns them? Just people talking to you.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I did a podcast last week with Doug LaMaurice, our guy who covers Ohio State and does national work. And he had gone through a number of these different areas with polls he put out there and really said, and this is, I think, consistent with what I hear, I think people are generally excited about the college football playoff and the fact that more teams are going to have a chance later into the season. And there's just greater opportunity to compete for a national championship and, you know, campus sites. I think everyone's excited about that, and people are excited about the schedules generally getting better. I mean, one of the I think pluses of realignment is that you're going to have more Saturdays where there are, you know, five or six or seven or eight, you know, truly national games versus maybe one or two, or in some cases zero. So I think scheduling is something that people are excited about. I think it's hard, you know, for fans who have followed the sport for decades and decades to embrace the movement, the player movement. I think maybe more so than necessarily the money being earned. I don't think the fact that players are making money bothers people as much as you know, the constant chaos around rosters and players transferring two or three times in the offseason or committing to, you know, two or three schools before they settle on where they're actually going. And that, you know, that's something that I don't know if ever will be truly embraced. And until we go to maybe a full-on employment model, to your earlier question, I know for a fact that coaches that I talk to, they may never say this on the record, but they would prefer a system where there's clarity, just like any sport, on how long you're going to be on my team. So yeah. if you and I agree that you want to bet on yourself and sign a 1-year deal, that we both realize at the end of that deal you're probably going to go in the portal or maybe sign another 1-year deal with me or go to the NFL, that's fine. But if we also agree that you're going to play 2 or 3 years, that gives me a sense of what my roster is going to look like. It gives you a sense of security. I think that's ultimately where we need to be, at least in college football, because this current offseason, whether it's fans, whether it's coaches, nobody really enjoys what's happening right now from a personnel standpoint in the sport. Right.
Agreed. Finally, when they're done with the Beaver Stadium renovation, which will be August of 2027, how anxious are you to sit in a press box at Beaver Stadium that's different than the one you've been sitting in?
It's the last one, Steve. And you know, you go around the league and around the country. I mean, it's not the last one, but in terms of, you know, the truly premier programs of the sport, they've all done their press box renovations, and I know the listeners and the readers don't care that much about where we are, but it will certainly be welcomed when I mean, it's a great view. It's still a great view. It's a great atmosphere. I love coming to Happy Valley, but I love it even more with a modern press box.
Jimmy Kennedy, which you recall, played defensive tackle, was an All-American here. It was like 2002 or something like that, and we're sitting on the field. He looks up at the press box. He says, "You know, this place is pretty nice, but that's kind of ratty up there." So I was like, "Okay, thanks." Oh, hey, Adam, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate you.
Yeah, appreciate you too, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Adam Rittenberg, ESPN. Now, notice the intelligence, the logic with which he went through everything. That's all going to change in the next half hour, Todd. Don't you think?
I thought you were going into a suit joke, and then I realized Matt was next hour.
Yeah. By the way, and I told him this, that's one of the worst races I've ever seen. Because of all the stoppages, you know, yellows, things like that. The finish was tremendous. And guess what? The ratings were up 8% from last year. Hmm. Now, again, through the first 180 laps, I'm like, oh, it took a lot. I mean, I felt like there was water dripping on my forehead. They were going 80 miles an hour more often than they were 200. But the last 20 laps was pretty darn good. I thought so. All right. We'll take a break. Matt, in the next half hour, you heard about what happened to him yesterday, right?
Oh, no. What?
No, they're supposed to go to the parade in Nori or something like that, and they canceled it.
Oh, I didn't see they canceled it. I saw the pictures on Facebook that they were going to the parade. I did not see the actual results of the parade.
No. No. You know, I know the one picture of the little one looks like he's crying there. It's like, you posted that? All right, so, what the heck? It looks like he was crying his brains out. Like, okay, that's fine. It's like, did daddy not give you candy? What was the deal? All right. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKLK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I
I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Trying to see if we can find a sponsor for this segment, Todd. No. Not available. We'll go with NIL Game Changers. Yes, indeed. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey today. We bring in Matt Cotrillo now. Sir, welcome. I saw the picture about the Nori parade getting just ripped out from underneath your feet. And it looked like Luke seemed happy. Mark seemed totally distracted. And John Paul's crying. I mean, really, a great family photo.
Well, that's because I found out, of course, this doesn't surprise anyone, but I guess Angel Hernandez was the one that was organizing this whole thing.
Oh, you're just so cruel. Cruel. Well, I mean, he's not the one to put the picture out.
Well, no, but I also was expecting to go to a nice Memorial Day parade. But apparently once we got there, we finally started getting the kids out. Oh, it's canceled. Well, I can only think of one person with that. Angel Hernandez.
I mean, was it a weather-related thing?
It was, yeah. But I was looking at the radar before.
So you were willing to take your three children out in thunder and lightning?
Because I looked at the weather, and it was going to be tight, but because there was forecast for storms to start probably around like 11:45 noon, but that's probably when the parade was going to be ending. So it would have been, to me, it was all going to be timed out perfectly, but evidently I was the only one that thought that because it got canceled the minute we pulled up there. So we ended up making a negative into a positive. We did a whole bunch of other family outings to cover the disappointment of the parade, so it turned out okay.
Cover the disappointment of the parade. Sounds like you were more disappointed than the kids.
I was looking forward to it. I love parades.
Well, there's a lot of things you don't love. Here's your chance.
Yeah, and while we're talking about Angel Hernandez, by the way, get out. Happy retirement. Well, you can go ahead and screw up somebody else's organization.
Oh, just so mean.
With clueless calls and inconsistent strike zone and this and that and the other thing. But then you have, but at least with him, as far as I remember, maybe it might have happened a couple of times, but at least with him, he could put up with guys going after him. You know why? Because I think he knew what he was getting himself into after a while, after doing this for 34 years, I think it was. But then you have his brethren of other umpires that apparently, even if you don't say anything like Aaron Judge did a couple of weeks ago and it was a fan in the stands, we just throw him out like it's nobody's business. Latest being Bryce Harper with the Phillies a couple of weeks ago, or last week, I should say, in Colorado, where he didn't like a third strike call. He's literally just talking, you know, I'm sure very firmly, but somewhat nicely. He's not yelling at the guy as he's taking his stuff off and getting ready, like a lot of MLB players do, and like a lot of normal MLB umpires, they would just sit there and take it and explain themselves, and you move on. But no, we throw him out. I'm sorry, I forget who the umpire's name is. I know his name was put out there. But I'm sorry, I'm there to go see Bryce Harper play in this case. He got thrown out in the first inning. I'm not here to see you make a mockery of the job that you're supposed to be doing. That's not what I'm paying for. I'm paying to see the stars. I'm praying to see Bryce Harper. And to throw him out like that when he literally did absolutely nothing but just ask you for a simple explanation of your horrible strike zone is an absolute embarrassment. And that should be the line in the sand for Rob Manfred and the MLB Umpires Association to finally start putting their foot down on these guys and start holding people accountable. It's one thing if you're going to make controversial calls. It's another thing if you're going to have a bad strike zone, a questionable strike zone, whatever. You make a bad call every once in a while, it happens. But it's another thing when you're just throwing guys out when they're not even doing anything. I mean, what is this coming down to? This is a whole new level of low, and everybody who went to go see that game, any Phillies fan that went to go see that game, even though it wasn't a home game, should deserve to have their money back because their star got taken away from them for absolutely no reason after a half of an inning.
Yeah, I agree with you. Nobody goes to pay to watch somebody officiate. The need to be invisible has to be there. And I will say this about Angel Hernandez. I'll start with that, then I'll go to the Bryce Harper situation. Angel Hernandez made exponentially more good calls than bad calls. And because most of the calls are routine. But he missed calls dramatically that were dramatic. And that was the problem, the dramatic misses that he had along the way. The vast majority of calls he made were correct, right? But that's going to, like with any umpire, that's going to happen. The vast majority of calls are going to be correct. But in this case, no. The ones that he missed were dramatic, and that was a big problem. As for Bryce Harper, that's exactly right. All right. Your job is to not be thin-skinned. Your job is to arbitrate. Now, if Harper were going wild at home plate, kind of like Aaron Judge did when he got thrown out, yeah, deserved it. But if he'd been going wild at home plate and in his face yelling at him, yeah, you have to. But not like that. And people paid to see Bryce Harper play. They did not pay to watch him officiate. So, yeah. I'm with you.
Well, the only reason why Aaron Judge acted the way he did is because he was so flabbergasted, because it didn't come from him. And same with Aaron Boone when he got tossed after all that. Yeah. But I digress.
You need to keep it, people. You need to tell your own fans, shut up. You're hurting the team.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think that fan should have been held accountable. I don't listen as much to the WFAN in New York, but if I were one of the hosts up there, I would have called that guy out, tell him to call the show, and given him a piece of my mind and say, hey, yo, Holmes, watch yourself, because this is what can happen, and let this be a lesson to anybody in the stands, if you're going to sit that close, is to, you know what, maybe you should watch what you say. Yeah, you're a fan, you're supposed to be into it, this and that, but at the same time, don't cross the line, because it turns out you just might get your star player thrown out of a game. Now, luckily, the Yankees won that game, but there you have it.
What else is on your mind?
Well, I mean, of course, you've got the landscape that is changing now in college athletics, where, I mean, we all saw this coming, but the fact that it finally is here in terms of the looks like it's going to be going ahead to go ahead and pay college athletes, I thought it was a rather sad day for college sports, that the fact that it's come down to this. Now, having said that, I like NIL, but I like NIL for what I'm starting to discover just from what I do on covering high school sports and then doing Bucknell, of course, on the PA side of things, is NIL is now is really supposed to be about giving these student athletes a brand, and they can use that for whatever endeavors they want to do post their career, whether it ends after 4 years in college or whether they end up going on to a professional career and it ends after that. This is really, I think, more of an educational type thing, because we have some athletes around this area that are using that to their advantage, where they're trying to build a brand for themselves as to whatever they want to do in life, and it kind of really serves them as like an internship and almost like as a start of their first job, because it's stuff that they get to manage, because you're managing your brand, you're working with other different types of entrepreneurs, or you're working with other businesses in the area and promoting them. You're learning maybe how to manage a little bit of money, of course. So I think those are good professional skills for them to develop through NIL, and that's great. What we're seeing across some Division I side of things of NIL is not what we should be seeing. I'm all for that when it comes to the college athletics, and I think those are great opportunities for young people, because I'm starting to see that firsthand. But what's not appropriate, and I've said this before on the show, is that student athletes should not be paid. That's where I draw the line. I'm sorry. They are student athletes for a reason. Student being the key word here. They are not employees of a university. And as you and I have both talked about before, Steve, when it comes to this, these student athletes, they got a lot going on for them anyway. You got scholarship money. That's the whole point. That's what helps them get to this point. And that's the biggest thing. We've forgotten what the definition of a scholarship is. Now, I'm not saying every athlete gets the amount that maybe a star player gets, but the point is that there's scholarship opportunities are there for a reason, that are there to help them with their funding. So the fact that we've gotten to this point of we're actually paying athletes, and it's still not even fully there. Now some of this is NCAA's fault, as we've talked about before. This legislation doesn't solve everything, but at least it's something, and at least there's a cap, it seems, for all schools to pay at, to split around that $20 million. So that is one thing, but still, this fight's still not over in terms of trying to form unions with these guys and have collective bargaining agreements, periods, and things like that. I mean, we're getting way above our head, and to be honest, we're getting way above these student athletes' heads at this point. Let's remember, these kids are 18 to 22 years old. They're not old enough to be doing collective bargaining and getting involved with lawyers and all these sorts of things. I mean, look, we need to slow down here with all this. And I think ND's athletic director said it correctly once this was passed the other day. Congress, actually, I think, does need to. Normally, I'm not a big fan of government and sports mixing, but I think in this case, they have to step in and set some sort of boundary so we can protect the actual definition of what a student athlete is and should be, and they not become employees, because these people are still going to college with the hopes and the goal of getting a degree, whether that's before or after they finish their careers, whatever the case may be. A lot of players are very good about, if they go on to a professional career and they leave college early, they come back and they finish their degree, or they finish early, one or the other. But that is the main point that we're forgetting here. It's student athletes, and it's about getting a college degree for their future, whether they get into professional sports as an athlete or not. So Yeah, I think it was a sad day in college athletics in terms of being on the way to paying athletes, because we're getting into some really, really convoluted territory now. NIL is one thing. This is a whole other can of worms that is just going to really going to make things interesting and I think maybe change college sports for the worst.
Well, to me, they had no choice. What was their choice? I mean,
there is no choice. But I'm saying that the fact that it's gotten to this point is sad for college athletics.
If they went to court in January of next year, 1 year from now, we'd be talking about the bankruptcy of college athletics and programs not ceasing to exist, because the odds were stacked heavily that they were going to A, lose the case. And whatever number was assigned was going to be tripled because it's an antitrust case. By at least settling, they can at least get the numbers under control. And let's be straight. The reason they are called student-athletes was a legal mumbo-jumbo term that the NCAA came up with to make sure they didn't get money. That's why it was done. Let's not pretend it was anything else except legal mumbo-jumbo, so they would not have to give them any money. And that's the bottom line. When you have 107,000 people showing up at Beaver Stadium, they're the product. Okay? They are the product. Let's not forget that. Now, how you want to divide this money up, what role does Title IX play? And when it comes to Congress, I feel Congress has a role in the ability to get the NCAA on the path to an antitrust exemption, which would then allow them to negotiate everything else, to put guide rails in the negotiation on NIL, to put guide rails on the transfer portal, because now you have a players association and an entity with an antitrust exemption negotiating these things out, and then, of course, guide rails on what the payout's going to be based on the settlement. Those are all things that they can do, and that's the role I think that Congress needs to play.
Yeah, I think that's all fair. Yeah, I totally agree. It had to be done now because, yeah, then you were going to go, there's no question that you saved the NCAA and college sports from heading bankrupt. Plus, yeah, there's the Title IX thing involved. I mean, there's still a whole lot to be settled, and that just goes back to my point before. This is just getting into such a convoluted mess already, and we still don't even know half the things that are going to play out with some of these factors that we're talking about here.
It has a long way to go. They still have to, for example, bring the case back to Claudia Wilken, the judge, and she has to sign off on the approval of the settlement, which in all likelihood she will. But that is the next step, and then after that, it's supposed to start in the fall of 2025. And you know, as I told Adam Rittenberg, people have asked me, oh, what do you think of this? I say, hey, look, you know what? 15's Drew Aller. I talk about Drew Aller. Okay? You sit there, 44 is Tyler Warren. I talk about him. Whomever's out there, the people I talk about, I'm not going to get too wrapped up anymore in how they got there. You know, as long as you know you didn't cheat to get them. I mean, that would bother me. Cheating would absolutely bother me. But if they got there by under the rules in any way, shape, or form, I don't care how they got there. That's just me.
Yeah, no. That's fair. Absolutely.
I mean, this can't be all that you hate. I mean, this has been a long weekend. I mean, the parade, right, after what happened there, you had to be fired up about hating life.
At that point, I was. But like I said, at least we were able to still have a good family outing, despite the disappointment of not having the parade. But I would have at least liked a little bit of more of a last-minute notice.
I mean, the kids didn't look disappointed at all. They just looked just totally out of it and distracted. They didn't care about the parade.
No, they were. Well, Luke was more disappointed than anybody else, it seemed, because, you know, he's four. He's more aware of these things. But once we changed our plan, we went to the park. We Then we went to the mall and played there for a little bit, brought lunch home. It was all good.
Hmm. You told him he could edge the yard later, didn't you?
I mean, that's always a given. But we had a battle of rain with that, of course, too, over the weekend. But, yeah, the minute that it didn't stop raining, yeah, he was back out there. It was all good.
Oh, OSHA, by the way, just holding on 4.
I won't answer.
You just don't answer it this time. It's just the last time we answered it, we didn't know. Oh.
Hey, I won't tell if you won't tell.
Yeah, you're lucky nobody listens to this show. All right, thanks so much.
All right, talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, bye. Oh. Trying to think what excuse we used with OSHA when they called.
I think we just blamed it on the suit.
Yeah, we did, as a matter of fact. They said he's just got bad influence from the top. And to their credit at OSHA, they knew right away. All right. Take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Business, athlete, hey, they'll get you on the right track. They'll start your journey today with NILGameChangers.org. You're on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
You ever question whether he loves life or not?
Who? That's an open-ended question.
Matt.
I think he gets it all out here.
I know that we are therapeutic. Right? And, you know. And then I was listening to the commercial about the dog being lethargic and sleeps all day, and I thought it was a commercial about the suit. I was like, oh, what? Right? Oh, it's about a dog. Oh, okay.
They're surprised their dog sleeps all day. It's a dog.
You know, see, that's the difference between us and the people in the commercial. We're not surprised the suit sleeps all day.
Well, that's true.
At all.
Oh. It's cool back in the corner office.
It is true.
Nobody bothers you.
Yeah, it's true.
Can't
or
help
they
it.
Or they gave up.
That's true. That too.
I give up. Let them sleep. Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, we have Neil Coulong in the next half hour. Look, do I think that this is the ruination of it? No. I mean, there's one thing about college. College football is the second most popular sport out there. In fact, in a lot of ways, to be honest with you, Todd, I think it's undervalued. Okay?
I think that, you know, the sky is falling stuff. They'll figure it out. It'll get corrected. It's just not a great time right this second, just because I don't think any, like, said this enough, that, you know, nobody's taken a leadership role in this to figure out exactly what is going on. And I think that's more the coaches and fans' problem, is nobody knows what the rules are right now.
Right. Nobody knows what the rules, because you don't have somebody stepping up and leading. And they need that. They need a leader with some strength that walks in and says, okay, we want to do this, this, and this. You put an entity together, we'll negotiate. That's what they need. You just can't keep tiptoeing around, because that's all they've done now for decades, is tiptoe around tough issues. Kicking the can down the road, to use that old expression. Because now you're stuck with this mess because you didn't take care of it decades earlier when you should have.